chapter 6 and verse 6. That text there. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Tonight we want to look at prayer, and it is the minister's intention to encourage you, friends, in prayer. If we were to sum up the Christian life, we might sum it up in one word: prayer. You will be able to gauge your Christian life by your prayer life. And indeed, one of the most important aspects of your Christian life, or indeed we might even stretch it and say the most important aspect of your Christian life, is prayer. And I do expect that what I'll do tonight is simply remind you things that you have heard before, and you probably well know, but maybe you have forgotten about, but you will certainly need to be remembered about it. We all need to be remembered. It is so vitally important. And it will be good for us, brethren, to think on this mighty subject and to continually think upon it and to bring it to our minds and memories, that it becomes a very part of our Christian experience. We want to look particularly at these words: but thou, when thou prayest. And the title I want to give is quite simply from the text: when thou prayest. When thou prayest. Well, before we look at the three things I have, I want to introduce my subject. I want us to see here, very briefly, I want us to see in these verses that Jesus is teaching us the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And you might instantly say, where is the minister getting this? Well, friends, it's there. It's clear and it's evident that as Jesus is instructing his disciples about this holy exercise of prayer, he is revealing something of the sinfulness of sin. Let me explain what I mean. He's talking about prayer here. And he's talking about things that we have to avoid, and we'll look at that. And it's hypocrisy. Now, what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is nothing but sin. And therefore, friends, what he's teaching us is that we can be at gatherings like this, and we can engage in prayer. The minister's not excluded, all of us, in public gatherings like this. We can be here, we can be engaged in prayer, and we can be up to our necks in hypocrisy. That's what he's saying. And do we understand, friends, we can be, as it were, on the very verge of heaven. We can be sort of entering into heaven as we think in our prayers, and we can be steeped in hypocrisy. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Because he's teaching us and telling us here that many hypocrites pray. It was evident in the days of Jesus. He could see it in the temple. He could see it in the street corners. And these were people who were, in their own estimation, were engaging in a holy exercise. They were crying out to the living God. They were presenting their prayers and their petitions. And Jesus put the stamp of hypocrisy upon their utterance. Now, of course, your minister cannot put a stamp of hypocrisy upon anyone's prayers but his own. But his own. But this is something we must bear in mind, friends. Sin is something that sticks to us. We cannot just shake it off. Yes, blessed be God, the people of God are cleansed from their sins. They're cleansed from its guilt. And by the power of the Spirit, day by day, we are being delivered from its grip and its thraldom. That is true. But nevertheless, sin is still with us. And even as we engage in holy exercises, we must be careful because it's right there beside us. Shall not be as the hypocrites are. You know, we see the evidence of sin all around us. We see a drunk person. It's obvious that person's been overtaken by the sin of addiction. And we see how it brings a person down to the gutter. We could say the same for the drug addict. They have been addicted. We could say the same of the unclean person involved in fornication and adultery and incest and homosexuality. All of these things are clear and they are evident to all of us. We can see the sin there. But friends, hypocrisy is something that's with us and we all have it. That doesn't mean to say we're all hypocrites. That's not what it says. But hypocrisy, being a sin, the seed of that sin is in my heart. And it's there in your heart also. And we must fight against it. It's clear and evident. Some sins, we can see them. But friends, this is something that's not so easy to discern. But it's there. And Jesus would warn us against that in his teaching here regarding prayer. Well, I have three brief things that I wish to draw to your attention from this verse. First of all, then, when we look at our verse, but thou when thou prayest, we have here an assumption. Jesus is assuming something. And what is it? He's assuming that his people pray. He does not say, but if thou prayest. He says, when thou prayest. And he's making a clear assumption here. He is stating that his people will pray. That's the assumption. We may well ask ourselves, is he talking here about private or public prayer? Now, to help anyone who might not be sure, we are involved in public prayer here. All of us, in our particular denomination, we believe it's biblical. For the ladies and for the women in the congregation, not to take part audibly in prayer. That means we do not ask ladies, women, to audibly pray in our prayer meetings. Why? Because the Bible teaches against that. It tells us that it's only men who should lead in public prayer. I'm not going to get off on a tangent, but that's what we do. As you know, most of you will understand that. That in our gatherings, this public worship here, women do not lead audibly in prayer. But we have women with us. And as we are gathered here and we're engaged in public prayer, everyone is praying. Yes, it may only be a male who is leading audibly in prayer. That is true. But the Bible teaches us when we gather together, male or female, when the man is leading in prayer, all are praying. So we're all taking part in prayer, whether we're male or female, but we do not audibly all take part in prayer. So, is Jesus there talking about public prayer or private prayer? I am convinced that he's talking here primarily about public prayer. This is what he's talking about here. But the principles that he's laying down are vitally important, not just for public prayer, for gatherings like this, but for private prayer, when a person will go home. And they will engage in prayer in their own private place by themselves. I'm sure he's addressing public prayer here. But the principle is exactly the same. it can be applied also to private prayer. And we might also say family prayer. There are things as family worship, and it could also apply to that also. You may well think that our verse is talking, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. You may well think he surely there's talking about private prayer. Well, I don't think so, because the context is public prayer. But what we can learn from this, Jesus is teaching us and telling us, when we engage in public prayer, we should be like those who go into prayer in private. In other words, when we go to pray in private, we try to block out the world. And it is, as it were, between us and God, and there's no one else about us. That's the kind of posture, that's the kind of manner, that's the kind of way we should be when we go into private prayer. We draw aside from the world, we find some place where we can be quiet, we get on our knees or stand or whatever, and we block out the world and we seek to focus upon God and upon Him alone. That kind of mentality and that kind of posture is to be adopted even when we come to prayer in public. And this is vitally important for those who do lead in public prayer. When you stand up, man, when you begin to pray, you are to take your mind off other people. You are not to pray to the applause of other people. You are not to pray thinking about what other people might think. You are to go stand up and you are to fix your minds upon God. And you are to think upon Him as if you were alone, not necessarily gathered around with other people. That's the kind of attitude He wants the people to adopt. They must realize when they're praying, they are praying first and foremost before God, and to block out the world and to have their minds fixed upon their loving Heavenly Father. It is, friends, in private or in public, we must withdraw from the world, cut ourselves off from it, and be taken up and consumed in this great holy exercise of worshipping God in prayer. And that's what he assumes, that every Christian indeed will pray, whether it be in public, like occasions like this, but most certainly privately. Now let me be very clear, I just don't wish to discourage anyone at all at this stage. The minister is not saying that everyone, every male for instance, who's a believer, must necessarily pray in the prayer meeting. That's not what's been taught here at all. The minister would certainly encourage people, the men, to pray at the prayer meeting, certainly would. But if someone came along and said to the minister, I don't feel confident to pray aloud, I don't feel confident to pray at the prayer meeting, the minister would not in any sense look down upon that individual. I would respect their opinion. I would seek to encourage them, certainly. But if that was to be their position, then the minister would accept it. But what Christ is impressing upon us, upon the people of God, is that those who are Christians will be found in prayer. And all of us are to be found privately in prayer. And when we do go, we are to make sure that we put the world away from us. And you, friends, if you know anything about prayer, you will know how difficult this is. Because the moment you seek to pray, the moment you seek to get near to God, you know there will be 101 distractions that will come into your mind to try to distract you, to try to take you away from this holy exercise. But Jesus assumes that His people will pray. And therefore, friends, we must ask ourselves, Is this something that we know? Do we know a private place? Do we have a favorite place that we retire to? That we can be found being open and frank before our Heavenly Father in heaven? Jesus says, when thou prayest. Therefore, this should be our mark. This should be a characteristic of all of God's people. A place of retirement. A place of opening up the soul before the Lord. A place of intimacy. A place when we can unburden the things that are on our hearts. A place where we might cry out to the Lord that we love Him. Oh, friends, let us never be ashamed. Let us never be afraid. Let us never be embarrassed to say to the Lord that we love Him. Has He not loved us? Has He not shown His love towards His people? Of course. Well, the Lord assumes that His people will pray. And of course, when we come to occasions like this, we pray for things that are probably slightly different to what we would pray by ourselves privately. This is something that we need to learn. When we come to public prayer, we have certain petitions that are apt and appropriate that would not be so appropriate in private, and vice versa. In private, at home, by ourselves, we can pray for things that are immensely personal. And don't be afraid to be personal. Bear in mind that God knows everything. He knows your needs. He knows your wants. He knows all these things anyway. But we are urged to be open with our God. And as we're at home and praying, we are to be free with our God. And we would ask for things that would not be appropriate to ask in a public gathering like this. In a public gathering like this, we would ask for things that benefit the congregation. We would ask that God would bless us as a congregation, that He might add to us, that He would bless the gospel ministry, that we would all grow up in our salvation, that we would delight in the means of grace, that others might come in to hear the wonderful news of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that we can lawfully and legitimately pray for in the public gathering. We can pray for our country, for our nation. We can pray for gospel success throughout the nations. We pray for the advancement of the church and its wonderful cause. These are things, and other things. But of course, in our own private time, we might pray for members of the family. Maybe they're going through a difficult time. Whatever, we can name them one by one before the throne of grace without any embarrassment. Let our petitions be known unto our God. So first of all, then, we must realize that Christ assumes that His disciples will pray. Secondly, we touched upon it in the introduction, but Christ gives us here a warning against hypocrisy. A warning against hypocrisy. Our catechism says, what is prayer? What is prayer? It asks the question. And then it says, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. That's how the shorter catechism describes prayer. Well, friends, if we are truly to engage in prayer, prayer from the heart, prayer that truly touches the throne room of heaven, we must be rid of hypocrisy. And this is so difficult for us because it clings to us. It is part of our fallen, corrupt human nature. But if there's anything that should be absent from prayer, it is hypocrisy. But sadly, that is not the case. Maybe some illustrations might help us. I'm particularly thinking of the men who lead in prayer, and I do not detach myself from what I am saying. But the men stand to pray. They're nervous. It's not easy to pray in public. It's not easy to unburden your soul in public and prayer. You begin to pray. You begin to hear, are people hearing me? Are they responding? How's my prayer going down? Somebody's saying amen. Somebody's nodding in approval. Oh, they're beginning to like the prayer. Someone likes the prayer. Friends, this should not be the case. We should not have an eye to those who are round about us, who are part of the prayer meeting. If we are truly engaging in prayer as Jesus would have us, we must be detached from what's around us, and we must be fixed and focused upon God, because we do all things for His glory. And this is us communicating with the living God. When a preacher preaches, he seeks to preach to his congregation. He seeks to get into their hearts with the Word of God. He seeks not to preach at them, but to them. That's what preaching is. But prayer is not that, friends. Prayer is towards God. And we must get this in our minds, in our mindset continually. This must be before us. We are not here in a prayer meeting to please others. Oh, it may well be that people are edified by our prayers. That may be true. But we don't aim to edify others. We want to do business with God. And that is not easy, because this hypocrisy can be with us. Now, I said hypocrisy, friends. We all suffer from hypocrisy to some extent. That does not make us hypocrites. There's a big difference. There is a big difference. But we must be aware of it, and we must work this out in our own lives. The men will know more about this than maybe others are at this stage. But friends, it can be very easy sometimes to stand up to pray. And when you have prayed, there is this thought in you, didn't I pray well? Didn't I pray well? Oh, friends, let's crucify that. Let this not be said among us. We are looking towards God. And it's Him, it's His approval we want, not the approval of those round about us. It should be absent from our prayers, because in our prayers, friends, if we're truly praying, we acknowledge our complete and utter dependency upon God. We acknowledge we need Him. And we can do nothing without Him. And we need Him to move and to work. We are like paupers before Him. We're holding up empty hands. And we're crying to God, bless us, O Lord. Pour down Thy blessing upon us. Provide for our needs. That should never lead us to hypocrisy. Someone said concerning this verses here, about the prayer of the hypocrite, supposedly worshipping God, when in fact you are worshipping yourself. Supposedly worshipping God, because that's what prayer is, when in fact you are worshipping yourself. Oh, let us be delivered from this. Let us realize and grasp this warning, and let us cry out constantly and continually to the Lord that He would teach us to pray, not just the right words, but oh, that they were uttered in the right manner, with the right attitude, and that we might be free from even the very taint of hypocrisy. And let us remind ourselves that when we stand to pray, it is to God. I remember talking to a minister's wife, and she was commenting upon a funeral that she had attended. It wasn't a funeral that was conducted by any ministers that belongs to our denomination. But she lamented the fact that the minister, the main minister who was conducting the funeral, didn't really preach the gospel. And her bone of contention was that another minister whom she knew was a good man, an evangelical man, he was there in the pulpit and he was asked to pray. And she thought that in his prayer, he might have somewhat preached the gospel and turned things round, because the main minister who had led the service, he didn't really preach the gospel. It was absent. And she felt, to correct things, this other minister, whom she knew was a good man, that he might somehow in his prayers might begin to sort of preach the gospel that was absent. Well, I don't know what you think of that, but prayer's not for preaching. Prayer is not for preaching. I've been in prayer meetings, friends, when people have prayed things and you know they were praying against someone else. This is not what prayer meetings are about. Prayer is when we talk to God. There's a place for preaching, as you know, but there's a place for prayer. And prayer and preaching are both acts of worship, but they are different. I can sympathize with the lady. She was genuinely wanting the gospel to proclaim. There was an ideal opportunity. There was hundreds there. Hundreds. Probably never heard the gospel. An ideal opportunity. But is it right in prayer? I don't know. But prayer is different. And we must therefore realize, friends, when we're praying, it's to God and not to anyone else. Leave the preaching to another time. So firstly then we had the assumption, and then we had the warning, a warning against hypocrisy. And thirdly, for your encouragement, we might notice the reward, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Friends, when we pray, we are looking to be heard in heaven. We have the ear of God. We're calling upon the living God. We're calling upon the one who made heaven and earth. We're calling upon the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, which means he owns all things, and all things are at his disposal. He can do as he pleases. And therefore, we are to pray as ones who will be rewarded. What do we mean by that? We simply mean that our prayers shall be answered. This is what should be before us. We don't offer meaningless words. We don't go through a meaningless exercise. We call upon God. And we're asking him to deliver us. We're asking him to help us. We're asking him to provide for us. We have something that we want to request of our God. And we are promised here, shall reward thee openly. I don't know if you realize it, friends, but the hypocrite, he is rewarded. He is rewarded. Jesus says at the end of verse 5, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, the person who stands up and who makes a show of himself and wants to draw attention to himself with his great prayer and his great oratory or whatever, he has his reward. The hypocrite has it. What is his reward? Men will praise him. Men will pat him on the back. Men will say, well done. Men will say, what a beautiful prayer. He will get his reward. But friends, we must realize, those of us who seek to engage in real heartfelt prayer without hypocrisy, seeking the glory of God, we must realize when we offer up our prayers and petitions to God, He's one who hears, and He is one who wants to reward those who diligently seek Him. Therefore, friends, let us be encouraged. Let us lay our prayers and petitions before Him. In other words, friends, let us be pacific in our prayers. The minister is not in the business of criticizing people, especially people who seek to engage in heartfelt, honest prayer. Far from it, friends. I want to learn from all, from you and from anyone else. The minister is a learner. And he wants to learn and he wants to know more about it. And he doesn't know everything about it, I can assure you. But friends, sometimes people pray and they never ask for anything. They never ask for anything. It is good to address the Almighty and to come before God and to recognize his attributes and his perfections and his glory. It is good to truly worship and praise God in prayer. But let us be ones who ask our God to give us something. Do we not need something? Of course we do. Every single one of us, we need something. The Christian, he needs to grow in grace. What do we mean? He needs to grow up in his salvation. Are you going to grow up by yourself? No, you're not. You need God. And is that a request that God will deny his child? Far from it, friends. Far from it. The unbeliever, what does he or she need? She or he needs a new heart. What is she going to do? What is he going to do? They must call upon God. They must call upon the living God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Jesus says. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give unto them that ask him the Holy Spirit? Is that not talking about regeneration? Of course it is. Therefore, let us be specific. Not with a shopping list, as it were, but we go to God with things that are in our heart. Do you have a bad temper? We all have a bad temper. Some have tempers that are worse than others. If you are one who has a bad temper, why don't you ask God to change it? Do you not think that God is glorified when you are changed? You are known as someone who is short, who's got a short fuse, and you earnestly cry to God, take this away from me. And we can see the change. Friends, there are wonderful blessings, rewards, benefits to be drawn down from heaven by prayer. Let us therefore be ones who petition God and let Him know that we want these things and that we want to grow. Do we want conversions? We'll not get conversions unless we pray for them. Yes, we believe in the sovereignty of God. Of course we do. That's why we pray, God bless us and convert those in among us. Therefore, in public and in private, let us be specific and lay before God things that are really on our heart. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in to thy closet. Amen. And may God bless his word to us. Let us pray together.